Hey everybody, Josh Peck here with a very special update video for Daily Renegade. I want to jump right into it. We have a very special guest, Pastor Gary McGibbon with us. Gary, how are you doing?
I am brilliant. I'm good. Highly blessed.
Very good. Same here. Well, I don't want to waste any time with anything. Let's jump right into the story. You sent me a couple of videos, a shorter one and a longer one, of something that that you actually filmed in a very strange place. So can you start off by just kind of introducing yourself to the audience? I think the audience probably knows who you are because I've been reposting our interviews on your channel to my channel, which the people have been really, really enjoying. So the one that I just posted is already past 10,000 views. So that's really great. But if you could give us just a brief introduction to yourself and then explain this trip that you took and explain these videos.
Yeah. So I'm lead pastor at Victory Church Belfast. Have been for the past 8 years. My background before that, I've got a degree in modern history. I've spent probably over 40 years training and teaching the martial arts. So I've got this, I used to fight, professionally fight and so on and compete. And I have this sort of, obsession with strategy. So when it comes to how the strategy of the enemy works in spiritual warfare and, all of that, you know, I always quote Sun Tzu when, Sun Tzu wrote that, you're to know, if you know your enemy and know yourself, you have nothing to fear for 100 battles. And I believe that that's something that a Christian can really grab hold of, because there's so much happening in the world that goes, unnoticed or unfocused on. And it's really, it can be crucial to the strategy in the spiritual warfare.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And that falls right in line with what we're talking about today, because you went to a place literally called the Gates of Hell, which is interesting that there's a lot of places on the earth that has that name. And of course, we recognize that from the Bible as well, the Gates of Hell will not prevail. And so you took a trip there in Ireland. Tell us about this place and what made you, and I believe your son, want to take a trip and actually explore this area.
Yeah, initially, so I'm writing a book at the minute. So, and the book and the Gates of Hell feature heavily in this book. The book's called The Guardians of the Gate. And I have also helping in the sense of setting up things for Elie Marzulli's documentary over here. And so we took a recon trip down to, it's called Onegat in Irish, and it translates it. It probably wrongly translates as the Cave of Cats. It was colloquially named centuries ago by the church, the Gates of Hell. And there's stuff to notice in that, you know, even if you're looking at a prophetic sense, there were actual gates at this cave, and the gates were removed, I think, in the 1950s. And in the book, I hit on this, that's a prophetic picture of perhaps hell, a hellscape coming across the earth, in the sense that there seems to be increased demonic activity, increased spiritual warfare, and all of that. Now, Onegat is famous. Now, it's famous for a lot of things, but it's primary sort of thing that people focus in on. This is the birthplace of Samhain, the birthplace of Halloween. And the story goes that it's associated with a kind of phantom queen called Morgan. And Morgan is this phantom queen that can actually be traced, I believe, throughout etymology and throughout history, right back to Babylon. And when you look at Morgan, Morgan is also used heavily in witchcraft. It's the crone deity or the maiden deity, and or the mother sense, so that, you know, that three-pronged female deity that they look at in witchcraft and they use in Wicca, and Morgan represents that. Now, in terms of this, Morgan is also associated with a lot of things, associated with different animals, associated with the crow. And what I found really interesting, associated with a cow or a heifer. And when we were down and we were doing this trip, we weren't just going to the Gates of Hell. We'd done a sort of a load of megalithic sites. And some of these sites are older than the pyramids, such as Newgrange. Newgrange is an old megalithic tomb that is 5,300 years old. And it's fascinating when you see that this correlates with what I believe is the story of the fallen angels. In Irish, it's the Tuatha De Dan. It's the God tribe. And the belief was that the God tribe, the Onagak cave, is a portal, like a lot of these megalithic structures, between here and what is seen as the other world, the Tiernanog. And it's a portal, according to Irish history, for the Tuatha De Dan, this God tribe, where they would sort of disappear and then they would come out in demon form and affect the land. And there's so much to it. And we decided to go down and take a trip down there. And I have to say, my son is an awful lot braver than me. Because one of the things that we noticed, and it sort of set me on edge straight away, you have to crawl into the cave. So the cave drops about, I think it's about 27 feet, something like that. It drops down. But you have to get in, it is literally... I had to bum scoot. I had to sit on my bum and slide. And you're sliding under a threshold plate, a lintel, where there's writing and ancient carvings. And that straight away sort of sent chills down my spine, because I started thinking of the threshold covenant. You know, how the threshold covenant sits in biblical terms, how we have a threshold covenant with Christ. But at the same time, if the Tuatha De Dan are the fallen angels, the watchers. And we know that when they fell with Semieza on Mount Hermon, that there was this, it wasn't just a case of mating with the daughters of men, but it was also a case of trying to, I see it as, usurp worship away from God, to claim themselves as gods or deities. And what better way to do that? That whenever you enter into any of these structures, and it was in every single megalithic structure, they had these lintel stones and you had to crouch down to get under. And it just gave me this sort of picture of prostrating yourself, an act of worship, you know, as in just lowering yourself as you come in. And it made me think of this threshold covenant. So I got about, I'd say maybe about 10, 15 feet into the cave, and I kind of stopped. I just sat there, and my 12-year-old son was saying, are you not going any further? Because as you look down, there's another lintel to go under, and it just drops. It just drops right down. It becomes this very, very narrow cave, and it's heavily used in witchcraft. You know, there's a lot of Wicca that meet there. And I was sort of sitting there going, oh, yeah, yeah, we'll just take our time. And then my 12-year-old just walked past, crouched past me and said, let's go. And I went, oh, I'm being provoked here. I can't be showing up myself. I can't be showing up by my own child. And we went down. The thing is that you would see, and you do see, and we definitely saw when we were down there, like light orbs and different things. And there was there that was Onaga, and on the same day we had done a trip to a place called Fornox. Now Fornox, all of these sites I believe are connected. Fornox is an ancient megalithic site about 5,000 years old, and it's literally, I think, a couple of miles from Newgrange, which is the kind of big go-to site, but not a lot of people know about Fornox. And we had a guide take us, and in there, I was standing there, and I showed you that this light sort of like wave of light comes toward me. And I straight away, I stopped. I struggled with breathing. I have breathing issues anyway. And I had this pounding headache. And I actually turned to the rest of the group and said, I have to go. I have to just leave. I left my guide there, and I went and sat in the car, and I was just trying to catch my breath. And it was actually my children that came up and says, we need to pray over you, Daddy. And they put their hands on me and started praying. Sorry, I should be quiet if you got it.
No, you're absolutely fine. What I want to do, I want to play those videos, and I would love it if you could tell us what we're seeing in these videos. Do you want to start with the shorter one or the longer one?
Probably the shorter one would be easier.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll go ahead and play that. And so here's the shorter video.
I think the poem or something, you know? It's often been asked, again, was this part of the reason that this stone was chosen? Because A, it looked like there was part, maybe the section of a bone sticking out. And then look, there's these patterns in it that look almost like they're mimicking megalithic art. But these are entirely natural. And again, the answer to that question.
And okay, so go ahead and tell us, like, what are we looking at here?
Well, when in the shorter video, this is in Fornox. Now, Fornox is uniquely sort of positioned, and it's amazing in the sense that when you walk in, the carvings on the wall, the carvings there look as fresh as they were done yesterday, but they're done 5,000 years ago. Now, it's a burial place or a sacrificial place. There were a lot of different DNA strands found, a lot of different remains found. And I personally believe it's a place of worship that is associated with the connecting point to the afterlife. It is actually lit. It is lined up with Cygnus, that star constellation that we were talking about. And what I saw and what you see there are these little light orbs, but then you get this wave of a kind of, the only way I can describe it is like a blanket of white light. And it was every time I was going to sort of film, this kept happening. And I've got a rubbish phone that I've dropped 100 times. So I wish it was better at that point, but I'm going to film and this thing goes toward me. And as it comes toward me, it kind of, like I said before, it straight away, my breath went, my head started to bang. And the only thing that I can actually liken that to is there's been times in my life, specifically pre my salvation point, where I've been in areas and in the vicinity of what I can only describe as utter darkness. And it was kind of like that same feeling. It was just everything in me sank. Now, it wasn't just me who felt that. My 14-year-old daughter was there too. And she had to leave as well. She just says, I felt that straight away. And she saw the same thing too. If this is, like I said, in ancient terms, a portal. And I know portal sounds new agey, but if you look at Psalms 24, it's basically a gate, a door, yeah. A window. Yeah. If this is a portal, and they're all seen to be, then I would associate that whatever was coming out of that portal was not happy. It was not happy with whatever we were saying. Also, the fact that my daughter and I were both the ones in that tomb praying. Everybody else was talking to the guide, and the two of us were praying. And it was the two of us who actually was sort of affected by this. I hope that answers your question.
Oh, no, not at all. That totally makes sense. That answers it. And so we can look at the second one now. This one's a little bit longer. So yeah. I'll play that.
Oh, hold on.
Let's go.
So go ahead and explain what this video is and what we're seeing here.
So this is Onagat, and you know, I initially put music over it. I put music over it because I was talking the whole way down, and there were the occasional there was the occasional scream, right? So that's why there's music over it, because I realized I don't want anybody ever to hear that footage. And this is when we go in and you see my hands going through. This is the writing on top of the lintel is to Queen Maeve. Now, Queen Maeve was someone who was associated with Morrigan, and there's a whole legend that goes behind this. Now, Morrigan, I believe, like I said, connected with witchcraft. I believe it's the same spur behind Samaramis as that Queen of Heaven idea. And when you go in and you go further in, there's light orbs. There's these different things that you see. And it's fascinating because in Ireland, one of the things that you realize as well is there's an awful lot of tradition, an awful lot of legend, an awful lot of history as well mixed and meshed together. The very entrance to this cave has what is called a hawthorn tree around it. Now, in Irish terms, that is seen as a fairy tree. Okay? So what you would see as you're going into this cave, there were offerings. So people come along and they lay down offerings. People pour out milk, which again has a connection with Ishtar, because that's how they would have worshipped Ishtar, is pouring out milk. Or they would hang crystals, or they would put little presents under this tree. Now, we didn't, but this is what a lot of the people would do. And as we're climbing down into this cave, like I said, this is the birthplace of Samhain, Halloween, and every Halloween there would have been rituals there. There would have been worship happening there. The idea is that the portal would open. The demonic entities, the spirits, would transfer from, like we had in this conversation before, interdimensionally from one portal to another, from Tiernanog to here. And then they would go out and they would devastate the land. So whether that's in the form of, they would have creatures such as three-headed cats, which obviously has a kind of connotation with, you know, the three-headed dog of mythology as well, you know, in the sense that it would come out in this way. And then there were associated with pigs coming out, like these demonic pigs coming out and ravaging the land. So there's an awful lot in there. And when we went down, it was, I don't want to sort of have your viewers thinking that I'm focusing on how it felt. But like I said, there's been places that I've went to in my life or situations that I've been in where I've just felt utter darkness.
Yeah.
And when we went down into the sort of belly of the cave, what you can't hear, because I put the music over the top, is there's kind of a grumbling that happened. Like it's like the cave itself is kind of making a noise. At which point I was kind of like, right, enough's enough. Let's get out of here. And it's, look, I have known, and we've had, as a pastor, we've had an awful lot of witchcraft against the church in the past. And I've experienced that, and I've experienced the sort of lingering effect of that and what would happen. And I know that, like, when we came out of that cave and we went home, and I thought, right, this is a great study. This is great for the book. I've got information for the book. It's not just seen as a cave. It's called the Cave of Morrigan, the Cave of Hell. It is seen as a portal to Tiernanog, a portal to the place of these fallen angels. And I had all this information down. But we came back. And I think it was within a day or 2 days that my wife developed a condition called erythroderma, which just comes out of the blue as this condition. We couldn't put it. And I'm not saying that it is from that, but it kind of made me think, well, if I get the opportunity, I'm not going back down the cave. Yeah. She developed this condition. She was with me. And it's erythroderma, where it's just randomly your body breaks out and burns all across the body, and it's life-threatening. And that was like a day or two after our visit to the cave. And again, not putting the connection, not saying that that's the case or anything like that. I believe that you can't curse what God has blessed. It doesn't matter what comes against us. You know, our Lord, our Savior is much bigger, much stronger. But it was certainly a weird place. Like when we go in, it's a field. Someone actually lives next door to this field because we couldn't find it on the sat nav. We're walking up and down this country lane. And I had to ask this guy in this house, do you know where it is? He goes, yeah, it's next to my garden. And you had to climb into the field. And then it's just this hole opens up and straight down. But over in the corner, there's a group of maybe 20 trees. And we were sure we could hear like running water, but it was just those trees and the wind going through those trees. But there was no wind anywhere else. It was just one of those weird, weird experiences. The trees around us on the other side, not one bit of wind blowing. No wind on the day. It was a very sunny day when we went down. But yeah, it was an experience. But when you start looking at the connection between all of this, my theory is that, and I know that, you know, when I say my theory, it's what I believe. I know other people believe this. But all of this, all of these structures, I believe are worship sites. They're seen as portals in Irish history between this world and Tiernanog. But they're worship sites and they're sacrifice sites for the fallen angels. It's this courting of worship. And even, I'm sorry if I'm just talking or rambling too long.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're absolutely fine. Yeah.
When we went to Newgrange, we had a great guide in a guy called Anthony Murphy. He's an author. And he was taking us around Newgrange. And you're not allowed to film it inside it. You have to have special permission to film inside it. But when you go in, it's really, really tight. You know, I was kind of going like that face, you know, trying to squeeze through. It doesn't take you to have claustrophobia. And it's really interesting. It's done in a crucifix form. Now, this predates the crucifix. And it's done in this crucifix form. So you've got the center aisle and then you've got two parts here on either side, and it's seen as a place of worship. And Newgrange lines up perfectly on the winter solstice to be lit up as the sun is coming down, and it's amazing. And then when you looked at this, one of the things that Anthony Murphy pointed out was there's a connection between this site and all of these other sites, and they're connected with something in the stars. They're connected with Cygnus, the constellation. Now, it's the constellation of the swan. And I find this fascinating because if you take the imprint of the crucifix and then you take the imprint of Cygnus in the sky, and it forms this crucifix shape. And in the kind of New Age movement, the Cygnus constellation is seen as the gateway to the next life, or the gateway to the afterlife. Well, then me as a pastor, I'm thinking, yes, no one shall come to the Father but through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to him but through him, and it's through the cross. And I kind of think that there's these sort of, like, the story and the narrative is so close but kind of twisted from the Bible. If you don't mind me just continuing, you can take out whatever you want.
You're absolutely fine. Yeah, go for it. I'm on the edge of my seat.
There's a place called Douth. So Douth is connected with Newgrange. And Douth means darkness. And I'm just going to tell you this, and you tell me which biblical story this sounds like. So Douth, the idea behind Douth is that the king of Ireland wanted to build a tower, a ziggurat, to the stars, and wanted to have a meeting place between him and the gods. Now, you obviously associate that with
Babylon,
Genesis chapter 11. But then it seems to have brought in other biblical stories. So the king's sister is a Wicca, witchcraft, you know, she casts a spell. And her spell is to make the sun stand still while this tower is being completed. And it starts to make you think how much has been twisted over the ages by the B'nai Elohim, by the fallen angels, to try and, I guess, the best form of a lie or the best form of deception has a grain of truth in it. So you can twist it about. So then people go, well, you know, that sounds very like the Bible, but the Bible came after in their opinion, and then he's trying to mesh it about, like, you know, and this is what sows confusion. Mm-hmm. And when we were down in Onagat, I started thinking about Morgan and the Morgan being this crone idea, this deity, she's seen as evil. But Morgan is associated, if you don't mind me drawing this comparison, Morgan is associated yep. with the white cow, right? Mm-hmm. If you go to ancient Egypt, you also have Hathor, mm-hmm. and the sky goddess Nut, who are called the queen. They become the same sort of deity, the queen of heaven, and they are associated with a white cow. Mm-hmm. If you go to Newgrange is by the river Boyne, and their goddess is called Boyne. And the picture of the goddess is a white heifer, a white cow. And you're starting to see the connection of all these. And I'm going to just tell you my theory in this, right? Because yeah, you see yeah. the connection of all these, and you see that each of them represent the so-called queen of heaven, right? Who I would associate as the harlot of Babylon, the end-time deceptive religion that comes in off the back of that, in my opinion. And this harlot of Babylon, this white cow representation, is also represented by the swirl signal. Remember, I think I've talked to you about that before.
Yeah.
You'll see that in Native American cultures. You'll see that across the world. But this swirl symbol is, in my opinion, if anybody takes a telescope and actually is able to observe the Milky Way, it is a picture of the Milky Way. It is a picture of the universe. And what I personally believe is that if you take the Romans 1 end time apostasy, where they have not kept God in their mind, they have not kept the knowledge of God in their mind, and therefore they have been lost to the deception, they've been lost to the lie. They have started to work, I think it's verse 25, they start to worship the creation rather than the creator. I personally believe if you go to the likes of Onagat, Newgrange, Douth, if you go to a Native American site, if you go to Australia, if you go to Mozambique, you will see these swirl pictures, these swirl carvings. I believe that there is an end time spiritual strategy by the B'nai Ha Elohim, the sons, the fallen sons of God, to get people to that Romans 1 mindset of worshiping the creation rather than the creator. And I believe we're in that prophetic age right now. In 1991, something like that, there was a shift of the polar axis, and the polar axis shifted 30 degrees east. Now, I was teaching about this the other week, that we are, if you take Isaiah 14:13, we know that the enemy tries to present himself in the most northern part of the congregation, the head of God. So the north is a picture of where God's throne is. It's a picture of where our faith should be. It's a picture of where our eyes should be trained. And in the 1990s, it's like we entered this prophetic age where things started to turn to the east. And that's a picture of taking your eyes off the North Star and taking your eyes off the throne of God onto what can be seen as the Eastern Star or the Ishtar or the Asheroth or the Semiramis or the Boyne or the Hathor or the Nut, the Queen of Heaven, that is all about flesh and following flesh to the nth degree. Because if you look at Romans 1, one of the things that's associated with that, the link between worshipping creation rather than the creator is associated with fleshly desires, as in the world, man sleeping with man, woman sleeping with woman, and going down that route. And then the two go hand in hand. And I believe it is a mark of a prophetic age. What we see in the natural, 1 Corinthians 15:46, is also in the spiritual, in the sense that in the 90s, the world's axis in the natural flicks across to the east 30 degrees, polar axis shift. Well, there's an axis shift amongst humanity where people have taken their eyes off God, not kept God at the front and foremost of their knowledge, and they've turned their eyes and their hearts upon the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh, 1 John 2:16. and it is going down the Ishtar route, the Eastern Star route, the Queen of Heaven. And I believe the end time strategy of the fallen is to turn people off the true north, the true position of worshiping at the throne of God, and to start worshiping flesh and following fleshly pursuits and start looking to the Queen of Heaven, this New Age nonsense. That's why New Ageism is probably the biggest growing religion in the world right now.
And I totally agree with that. And it makes sense that that is growing so much and people are going more towards these fleshly desires. And if they have any kind of spirituality at all, it's certainly not anything Christian. It's something tied to creation. Like you mentioned, we see that so much in New Age and Eastern religions, and really, really almost all other religions have that aspect to it.
All I can say is that, like you said at the start, yes, there are loads of places, you know, there's the Cave of Pan, there's different places around the world named as the gates of hell. And I personally believe there's a strategy to that. The enemy is not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. And I believe that if you look at the atmosphere that we're in right now, I believe the atmosphere of the world is being acclimatized for the emergence of the beast. I believe that we're seeing the beast system set up, and I believe that we're seeing, like it says in 1 Timothy 4, that lawlessness and all of that increase, and people lovers of themselves, boasters, pride, all of that. I believe that's the atmosphere being set. And if there's portals here, if there's portals there, if there's CERN, if there's, you know, all of this around the world, it's kind of to set the tone, set the atmosphere, and set the strategy. You know, if you couldn't, and I don't believe that the fallen angels are crazy enough to think that they could beat God in any way, shape, or form. But I think that what they are aiming to do is influence the world so much that people, well, in some ways, you know, it is that heartbreaking element to God, because people will just fall away. And I think that's what the gates of hell around the world are doing.
I totally agree with you, and we see it more and more every day. The further we march on towards prophetic times, which I believe we're living in now, and it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. But the good news is it will eventually get better when Christ returns.
Amen.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. Before I let you go, can you tell people if they want to follow you online or check out more about you or your church, how can they do that?
Yeah, if you simply type into YouTube, Pastor Gary McKibben, I will come up. You know, it'll be this face, so it will not lie. or you can follow us on Facebook at Victory Church Online or Victory Church Belfast. We're also just now on Rumble, and our website is victorychurchbelfast.com. So www.victorychurchbelfast.com. Any of those, you can get hold of us. And the new book, Guardians at the Gate, is up for pre-order on the website as well.
Excellent. And when that comes out, we'll have to have you back on to do a whole interview on that. And I highly suggest everybody watching, if you're looking for a church, if you're looking for an environment that will actually talk about these things, I highly suggest you go check out Pastor Gary McKibben's church, because that will fulfill your need to find a church that's willing to talk about these areas that most churches, at least in America, and I imagine around the world, most churches don't really want to deal with these topics at all. So, Pastor Gary, thank you so much again for coming on, and thank you for your service to the church and, of course, to Christ.
Thank you.
All right, and all of you, we will we'll talk to you next time in the next video. Make sure you subscribe if you're viewing on YouTube or Rumble. Turn on all notifications so you know that when we post a video. And until next time, love you all, take care, and God bless. So for those of you who don't know, and if you're brand new to this channel, please subscribe and turn on all notifications. It really does help us out. And a lot of people have been telling me they haven't been notified when I upload a new video, and I upload pretty frequently. So just double check, make sure you're subscribed, and make sure all your notifications are turned on. Now, because we constantly get shadow banned and censored over and over again, I mean, this has been going on for years. Because of that, it's incredibly difficult to grow this channel. Which is why I'm still, I mean, I was stuck at 24,000 for a really long time. I just crossed over to 25,000, but this is technically my second or third channel. I think it's my third, because my first channel had 70 or 80,000 and YouTube deleted it, just deleted the whole thing. And I was never able to get it back. And I wasn't given a reason why. It was right after, so what happened is right after my son was going through, he was 5 years old, he was going through cancer treatment. He's in remission now, but I mean, my very first documentary project, I made a mini doc about just what he has to go through, what things he's dealing with. And I posted it on YouTube, and then YouTube deleted it, and then they deleted that. And then I had to have... and then they shut down the channel for a while, and I had to ask everybody on YouTube to please write into YouTube and tell them they made a mistake. They did restore it, but then shortly after that, I did a video about there was this trend, and I guess it still is a trend, but there's this trend called Christian witchcraft, which is obviously an oxymoron. And I put that up. And I didn't insult anybody. I wasn't bullying anybody. I was just saying, hey, like, according to the Bible, according to, you know, even just Christian orthodoxy, like, this is not a thing. Like, there's no such thing as Christian witchcraft. It's just witchcraft. That's all it is. You can't just attach Christian to it and think that it's okay. That was the whole premise of the video. I didn't call anybody out personally, but they used that as an excuse to totally delete that channel, and that's when I was never able to get it back. That was the one that had somewhere between 70 and 80,000 subscribers. Wasn't ever able to get that back, so I had to start this one. I started two other ones. This one in a Daily Renegade. Well, actually, this one I had already had for just the Sharpening Report. Then I had to start a new Daily Renegade one. The Daily Renegade one, they would not let that grow at all. And I ended up abandoning that. I gave that to a friend of mine. Because I got like 5 or 6,000 subscribers, whereas this channel already had, at the time, and this was years ago, at the time, 18,000. So just the fact that I've only been able to manage to get to 25,000 now, you know, I mean, it's still, they're shadow banning and censoring us. So all that to say, when that channel got deleted, I created Daily Renegade, which is a place where we can all go to watch videos that I produce, and you don't have to worry about censorship because they don't censor. It's through a company called Uscreen, and we have to do it membership only. We have to do it through memberships to make sure that it's not shadow banned or censored or anything like that. We can't just have it open source for everybody, and also it helps filter out a lot of the trolls because we have a community tab on there. So it basically works like the video section of the website works a lot like YouTube, just without the censorship, but it's really easy to use. You can find any video that you want really easily. You can comment. You can make your own profile on this thing because there's a community tab as well that works a lot like Facebook. So dailyrenegade.com is kind of a combination of YouTube and Facebook, the best parts of it, without the censorship and without the trolling and all that stuff. Because trolls are pathetic. They're not going to pay their own money to go and troll somebody on some website when they can do it for free on YouTube. So that's when we created Daily Renegade, why it's a membership only. But the good news is, if you want to be a part of it, it's only $10 a month or $100 a year. And I suggest getting the $100 a year because you essentially get 2 months for free. It's cheaper in the long run. Also, it really helps. It helps continue doing what we do. You know, we're trying to spread, the good news. We're trying to spread the gospel. We're trying to spread good prophetic interpretations of scripture instead of I take a literal approach where what's really popular now is more of a anything goes, everything's a symbol kind of approach. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people are stuck in that mindset. Now, there are symbols in the Bible, but that's a whole rabbit trail I won't go down. But I want to give proper interpretations of the Bible, of prophecy, and put that out there for everybody and not be silenced. So the best place to do that is dailyrenegade.com. Also, there you get videos unless I do an update video like this. You always get videos in advance because I always post Daily Renegade first. But my Sharpening Report episodes go, and I talk about prophecy and the Book of Enoch and, sleep paralysis and aliens and all sorts of stuff from a solid biblical worldview. I like talking about the weirder stuff that most churches won't talk about. You get those video, if you're a member, you get those videos 2 weeks in advance. So the one that I just put up is not, the half of it is going to air on YouTube for free in 2 weeks, but people that have a membership have access to that video right now. And we've got some really exciting videos coming up that I think you guys are really going to enjoy. So head on over to dailyrenegade.com and get a membership today. There's a lot of reason to. And the community tab is really cool because it's the best way that people can, you guys can all fellowship with each other. You can fellowship with me. You know, I'm active on there quite a bit. And I want to treat it like almost like an online church environment where we can actually fellowship. You know, I've done a lot of conferences. I've spoken at a lot of conferences. And the number one thing that I hear people say is, I love going to these things because I can't talk about this stuff in my church. And I've heard, and I felt like that too. I've had that experience. I'm sure all of you have as well. You know, you're sitting in church and you're doing what's right. You're not forsaking the fellowship. But if you have a question about the Nephilim or about aliens, you know, the pastor might not know, or even worse, he might act like he knows and doesn't really, or just brush you off and say, you know, why are you asking silly questions like that? It's like, well, because they're not silly. Those aren't silly questions. And I personally am not a huge fan of churches like that. And not everybody is into the weird stuff. So those churches do have a place, but for people like us, we want something more. We want something. We want to know the truth of these weird things that happen in our world. And at Daily Renegade, it's a totally safe place for that. We discuss all sorts of different things there, and it's a lot of fun. And you know, everybody's just happy and loving, and it's you know, you're not just signing up for a membership, you're joining a family. And you'll never be asked to do anything too. That's the other thing I've noticed about a lot of churches. It's like whenever if I go to a new church, more times than not I get approached after a couple weeks asking me to do like extracurricular stuff. And you know, I know churches need help and stuff like that, but to me it's like, man, I'm just I don't have time. I have five kids. I already work in full-time ministry. I just don't want to. I don't want to sing in the choir. I don't want to help out on the school bus, you know, or the church bus. You know, I don't want to run programs. I'm just not the guy for that. I just want to hear what you have to say every Sunday and you know, fellowship with you guys and we'll see you next week, you know? So at Daily Renegade, you're never going to be asked to do anything. And, you know, I say like a church cause it's not a church. It's not a 501c3. I'm not into that. For a lot of reasons, mainly, I just don't want the government to tell me what I can and can't say. So it's an LLC. It's a company. It has to be, so that we have the freedom that we can say whatever we want. So, once again, if that sounds appealing to you, dailyrenegade.com. Another thing that I wanted to tell you about, there is an awesome on-demand prophecy conference that you can have access to right now. It's called the Orlando Prophecy Summit by our very good friends at Prophecy Watchers. So if you're familiar with people like Gary Stearman and L.A. Marzulli and people like that, that whole crowd that actually I'm going to be joining very soon, hopefully within the next couple of weeks, I'll be moving to Oklahoma. To go work at Prophecy Watchers, which I'm really excited about. I'm thrilled about. But they just did their Orlando Prophecy Summit, and it's all available on demand. You can have access to all of the speakers right now. So even if you go live, even if you were able to make it there live, a lot of times speakers will speak at the same time as each other in different rooms, and you got to pick and choose. Well, with the on-demand option, you don't have to do that. You have access to all of them. And I actually got a special promo code from you for you, too, from Prophecy Watcher. So signing up is really easy. You just head over to the link in the description below. I could read it out, but it's a little long. It'll be easier if you just go click on the link in the description below this and sign up with the promo coupon code. This is all one word, PECORLANDO24. PECORLANDO24. Orlando 24, all one word, and all the instructions are in the description below. And then you'll have full access to all videos and speakers now, actually, because they're available now. So if you want more information on the conference, the speakers, and the topics, you can go to OrlandoProphecySummit.com or just ProphecyWatchers.com, and you can get some information there. Let's see. We do have a word from our sponsor, but I'm probably going to end this video with that. So, you know, another thing I mentioned that we have, I mentioned the Dead Sea Scroll calendar. If you're not familiar with what that is, it differs from the modern Hebrew calendar because it's actually the calendar that the Bible uses. Like, it's the exact calendar pieced together from the Dead Sea Scrolls that the original Jewish believers that you read about in the Old Testament and stuff, they used this calendar. And I've tested this calendar against everything from Genesis to Revelation, and I have not found a mistake. It uses this calendar. Well, we have a print version of that available. It's a wall calendar where you get the, not only do you get the Dead Sea Scroll calendar, but you also get the regular calendar so you can match up the days and you can see, like, you can see, okay, like, so today's March 6th. Well, what day would that be on the original calendar? And you can use this as a study tool. You can, I mean, this helps out with prophecy. It one big thing that it answered for me was, well, the two witnesses, because this is a debate. Do the two witnesses come in the first half or the second half of the tribulation? Well, using this calendar, because there's something called a leap week, the way that we have a leap day, they had a leap week. They had that every 5 or 6 years. Because of that one detail that scripture doesn't, you know, the Bible doesn't lay it out for us like that, but because of that one detail that's not explained anywhere else, we can determine it absolutely has to be the first half. And the reason for that, that would take a long time to get into, but I do write about that in my book, Lost Prophecies of Qumran, which you can find on Amazon or prophecywatchers.com, lots of other places. But we have a print version of that calendar available, and we make these available every year. So if you want that, click in the description below and you'll find it. If you want the URL, it's kind of long, but it's www.createphotocalendars.com/shop/ancient Dead Sea Scroll calendar. So that's a little bit long of a URL, but it's in the description below, so you can go check that out. Also, I mentioned so some things that we're trying to raise some funds for. Obviously Daily Renegade, because we want to get a TV app and a phone app built for you guys, which is going to make it even easier to use, but that costs money. So we need some help with that. But also with us moving to Oklahoma. So the timing of this kind of worked out a little weird. So right now I work with Zach Drew at IGBY Ministries. And I originally planned, because we were looking at this house, this rental that we really liked in Oklahoma, and we thought, okay, that's going to be the one. So we started the process of applying for it and everything. And so it was looking like all of that was going to be able to be done by basically now. And so I told I told IGBY, like, I think my last day will probably be March 8th. And they said, okay. So that all got taken care of. Well, then the rental company for that house in Oklahoma just totally fell through. Like, they're horrible. Like, they have a 1.8 star rating on the BBB. Like, they're not a good company. And they haven't been communicating with us. They've been, like, losing our information. We've had to resend in things, and we can't get a hold of anybody. It's just been a nightmare. So we had to find a different house. And we did find one. This rental company is great. They've been awesome. We already got approved, and we already put a deposit down. So that's set. There's still some other things that need to happen. But the problem is with this one, because we had to wait a little bit longer. Also, this house was going through some renovations, so we had to wait a little longer. I have a period of time now, because my last day is March 8th at IGBY. That's already set. Like, they've already moved on, made plans for something else, so they can't keep me there any longer. But I'm not going to be able to start my next job at Prophecy Watchers until after we move. And so there's a period of like 2 or 3 weeks where I'm not getting any income from anywhere except what I do at Daily Renegade and what I put online and stuff like that. So we're trying to raise money for that. And also, and like I said, I have 5 kids and, you know, a wife and everything. And I really don't want to go get a job at a grocery store for a couple of weeks. So, and then lastly, something else that we're raising funds for is to help with the increasing medical care cost for my son, Nathan. Now, he is in remission, meaning he is cancer free. He beat the leukemia. But the chemo absolutely ravaged his body, and we're trying to, and it's going to take years, but we're trying to build his body back up to normal health. So he still does have health issues, and we're taking an all natural route, because with something like that, that's what you want to do. The problem with that is it is so expensive. It's way, obviously, any supplements that are any good, and I'm not talking about just supplements that you get from Walmart. I mean, a lot of that has garbage in it that's really not good for you. You gotta get the real stuff, and unfortunately, that stuff is very expensive. And health, there's no health insurance available for that, so we're paying out of pocket for all that stuff, and he needs it. Like, he needs it, especially if we want to make sure that the cancer never comes back. So for all of those things, I got another link in the description below. If you want to donate and help us out, it's also on the homepage of dailyrenegade.com, but it's just paypal.me/Josh Peck Disclosure. Really easy. So if you care to help with any of that, I would love it. But one of the best ways is, you know, if you were planning on giving 10 or 100 bucks anyway, why not get yourself a membership while you're at it? Because then you could be part of the community, and that, you know, That really helps us out, too.
Concerning the economically unstable times that we live in, it is a great idea to convert some of your savings into real money. Now, there is a big difference between real money and what we call money, which is actually just currency. So our dollar is currency, which fluctuates. Real money, on the other hand, like silver, for example, is a store of value over time. The best way to think of it is like this. If you had saved $1,000 in cash back in the late 1960s, that $1,000 would still be $1,000 technically, but it would buy you significantly less today due to inflation. Now, if you had saved that same $1,000 in silver back in the 1960s, today it would be worth around $28,000. So one of the best ways to protect your purchasing power is in real money, more specifically, silver. You can buy and have the metal shipped discreetly to your door. And what most people don't know is that you can actually convert your IRA or even a 401k into physical silver, rather than having all of your life savings tied up in the paper fiat system, which is subject to hyperinflation. Go to dailyrenegade.com and click on the Cornerstone Assets Metals banner. This is the only company that I personally trust with this kind of thing. Click on that and sign up to get your free silver report today. One of the financial experts will speak with you to find out the best way to protect your savings going forward in these uncertain times.